smart marketing Love for small businesses. This is Les Wolf, your host of Smart Marketing for Small Business, CEO of the Smart Marketing Group in Philadelphia. I welcome you tonight, as I do every Wednesday night at 11 o'clock. For those of you who are new to the show, the whole purpose of this show is not only to show you how to smart market yourself, but it's really based upon thinking. We run around with so many things on our mind, so many activities to do, we tend to be reactive rather than proactive. And the premise of this show is to educate, inform, stimulate, and hopefully motivate people to think first before they act, to be proactive. And we do that through a number of ways. We do it through the topics, obviously, that we cover in the show, guests that we have from time to time. Also through our LinkedIn groups. We have four LinkedIn groups that we encourage you to get into discussion, the discussion groups. Put down your thoughts, start a discussion group. And they cover four categories. They cover, obviously, smart marketing for small business, the name of the show. The Creative Thinkers Forum, the idea that if you learn how to think outside the box, you learn how to think strategically, you can learn to think creatively. And we try to give ideas and ways to do that. And then there is celebrities for marketing. There are so many different ways to utilize celebrities, and you don't need to have million-dollar budgets to have a celebrity that can draw traffic, help establish more intimate relationships with your key customers. It's a great LinkedIn group to visit. And for those of you who don't like to mimic what others are doing, who like to be original, we call you or encourage you to come to the Fearless Marketers LinkedIn group. Those are people who are willing to be risk takers, not just follow the crowd, but lead the crowd. So there's a whole range of things that are there that are available for you. And then very quickly, we encourage you to tap into our website, Smart Marketing Group, and look at our advisory block services. But let me talk a little bit about the program tonight. What are we trying to do to make people think? Well, one of the topics that we're going to cover tonight is communications technology. Can it hurt your business relationship? Now, everybody is big on technology. Then comes another subject matter that we want you to think about, and we hopefully will stimulate your thinking, is how to question your customer service thinking. And then if we have time, I want to talk about the power of words and how words can impact the success of your business in a variety of different ways. All right. First, let me go back for a moment to where I told you to visit our advisory time block on our website. We also encourage you to go to our Smart Marketing Moves blog. If you have questions you would like us to cover, encompass in future sessions, or there are stories you'd like to share with us, or if you'd like to be a guest someday because you have something that can educate, inform, and motivate, reach out to us via our email, marketingsmartly, S-M-A-R-T-L-Y, at AOL.com. All right, let's talk for a moment how communication technology can possibly hurt your business relationships. And I'm not going down some sort of anti-technology diatribe. You know, it's, again, an effort to have you think about how you use technology and whether you really benefit from it. Does it really help you and your company? Because, you know, relationships are based on mutual respect and mutual interest that can provide over a period of time mutual benefits. So do you have that in mind, or do you simply use technology as the way to, quote, drown, unquote, your client in your communications to the point that they turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to your messages. You know, if you have no interest in building relationships, do your employer or yourself a favor and go to work for your competition. Now, the key to it is I know that I delete on an average day 300 emails. I get so much email that is not appropriate for me at all. I get the same with phone calls. But the email, it's just incredible, the amount of waste that comes in. All right. You know, a key aspect of building relationships is showing respect you have for your customer or your prospect's time. You feel the same way. Your time is valuable, and you want to make sure that you're maximizing the effectiveness and the efficiency of your time. So you want to have people respect the time that you have. And as I said, technology has given us the capability to do more, but more, and I'll put more in capital letters and underline it and put quotation marks around it, but more is neither always better nor effective or cost efficient. You know, five technologies whose use has either been quickly adapted or taken on in an expanded role are social media, email, voicemail, obviously websites, and people still use faxes. A growing problem in this digital age is the speed that the latest tool is considered a necessity without clear thinking on how it's best utilized. This lack of clear direction often leads to unnecessary use that, you know, very bluntly is considered annoying, irritating, bothersome, and in general, a pain in the butt. Let's take social media. It's a wonderful avenue to communicate about many, many areas. But does what you have to say or state or place really matter? Does it deliver meaningful benefits for those you target? Is it going to make them smarter, wealthier, or more successful in life? Keep in mind, people are interested in what will benefit them, not just what you're trying to sell them. Because if it doesn't, if you are not building an audience who looks forward to hearing from you, the social media list, which seems limitless, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace, etc., it creates an environment where the floodgates have opened without a lot of concern for the recipient's time. You put value on your time. Well, so does your customer, so does the prospect that you want to become your customer. And you have to respect that time. So when you are reaching out to them, are you using technology in a way that really impacts them? Let's take a look at email. It is absolutely a tremendous tool to reach out and respond to. But it does not fully replace the effectiveness of a phone call, especially your individual communication. It allows for an interaction email can never hope to duplicate. You know, one of the things in particular the phone call is that you can hear, which you're not going to be able to see on an email, you're going to hear inflections in the voice. It's like being face-to-face with someone and watching their body language. And one of the things that is missing is that ability to read what the person may be feeling. E-blasts, very effective when you reach, you know, lots and lots and lots of people, but basically it's a shotgun approach. You're hoping you're going to hit something. But history has shown a rifle-focused mentality hits the bullseye far more often. You know, e-newsletters that truly deliver helpful information, they're welcomed once their value is known. And that is more apt to happen when public relations is part of your strategy. The more that you can get the word out in positioning yourself in a positive manner. And that's what PR is very effective about. We've covered PR in past shows, and we're going to be talking to some PR people in a couple of weeks to talk more about what public relations can do to be impactful. But another aspect of technology is a website, and that is a definite need for any business. But again, what are you trying to achieve? Is your site user-friendly? Is it easy to deal with? I mean, I see many beautiful sites, including those of major corporations. I mean, really, you know, very expensive sites. But some of them are so difficult to navigate, often because there's no clear direction of what is to be achieved. You know, putting the Encyclopedia Britannica of details up and having visitors try to find their way around is not good business. Always remember the KISS theory of business marketing and management. Keep it simple, stupid. And that goes to one of the other areas of technology that you have to be very careful about, and one that frustrates the heck out of me. That is voicemail. You know, the original concept behind the development of this technology was to improve customer service while decreasing operational costs. And some have done it very well. But many create an endless frustration of listening to a computer giving you 8, 12, 20 choices with absolutely no hope of being able to talk to a human being. I mean, I found myself at times cursing the voicemail, not that anybody could hear me because I couldn't get to a human. You know, several businesses have recently discovered a technique that is actually getting rave reviews from customers. It's called human interaction. Yes, operators, which shows what was old will become new again. Keep in mind that one of the key aspects is the need to make life easy for the customer to deal with you. Being user-friendly is a key element of any marketing strategy. And whatever you're doing, you've got to be looking at how can you make life easier for them. Basically, you know, let me talk about one other thing. That's fax blasts. You know, it's just what you need, more garbage to handle. The only thing that should be blasted here is the idiot who sends them. But basically, the point I'm trying to make, there is little wrong with technology if it follows these points. Get your notepad out, your iPad out. Let's get these notes down. It provides me, the customer, value in what format you use, whatever that format is. It increases my knowledge. It communicates with clarity so I can easily understand what you're trying to communicate. It understands my needs and shows me opportunity. It's succinct. You make your point in a very straightforward manner. And you talk to me from my perspective, not yours. Something that I lecture on all the time is what I call the WIFM factor, WIIFM. It's the essence of all communication. It is communicating from the perspective of the customer, not you. It's answering the question, WIIFM, what's in it for me? That is what a customer or a prospect is interested in. So, you know, if you do, you know, follow some of the comments that suggestions I've made, you'll reach, serve, and influence your target audience in a much more positive manner. You know, Mark Twain once said, let's make a special effort to stop communicating with each other so that we can have some conversation. You know, I want to repeat that. I think it's worth saying again. Let us make a special effort to stop communicating with each other so we can have some conversation. By Mark Twain, and before the days of mass technology, communication technology. So he made a very good point. Now, let me talk about something else just for a moment. You know, there are a lot of people who listen to this show, in particular the small business area, obviously, who have issues and concerns where they need help and advice. And we provide that. And we provide it in advisory services, and which can be structured a number of ways. If you reach out to us at marketingsmartly@aol.com, I'd be happy to give you a call, phone call, and talk to you about what your needs are. We also have an interesting program called Advisory Time Blocks for people who need help from time to time but don't want to get into large project fees or retainer relationships. And what that is they can basically buy a block of time, as little as an hour. It's good for 12 months, and it's like a piggy bank. You take out 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there, what have you. So it's very cost efficient, and it's an effective way. There's also the aspect that we help with executive coaching. If you have people that you feel need some help in the management area, we'd love to talk to you about that as well. So again, reach out to us through marketingsmartly@aol.com. All right. The idea of this show, as I said, is to keep you thinking. So let's cover another aspect of business that is really, it's an area that I find frustrating in that it should be the foremost thought in most people's business operations, and sometimes it seems to be acting more as an afterthought, you know, and that is customer service thinking. So I tell people you need to question your customer service thinking. You need to fight the commoditization of your business and increase its value to your customer. You know, we're living in an increasingly competitive marketplace. It is becoming more difficult to stand out from the competition. So what do you do when there exists a 5 P's environment? What are the 5 P's? Think about this. You might want to take this note down. When a customer's perception, first P, is that your product, second P, price, third P, and performance are on a parity level. Perception, product, price, performance, parity level with your competition. This is the time to take that step to challenge how you think about your customer. What you learn from this exercise could differentiate your firm from the competition in the eyes of your customer. So now pay attention, because you need to become an expert in customer service. It can create a much more profitable situation for you. Now, think about this. Do you know what the number one reason is customers leave vendors? You know what it is? It's not price. It's a feeling of indifference, feeling of lack of concern, lack of attention to their needs, lack of appreciation for their business. You know, a recent survey said this indifference was listed 68% of the time as a main reason for customer dissatisfaction. One person's problem can be another person's gold mine, especially for the smart marketer. Ask yourself and your staff. Ask them these questions. Again, get your notepad out, your iPad out, your tablet. Do you talk to your customers? You know, a customer is not dependent on us. We are dependent on him or her. The first place you want to go is to your existing client base to develop the right customer service approach. Tell them that you take customer service very seriously and you would like to ask all your customers a few questions in order to improve your level of customer service. Now, nobody is going to get upset with you if you say, "I am looking to make life easier for you, better for you, by being better at what I do. So here are some questions you may want to take down notes on. Ask the customer, what do they feel are the strengths of the service you provide? And when you ask about the strengths, the next question is, ask them, what do they feel are your weaknesses? Now, don't be shy. You need to know. You need to identify things where there may be a problem, and it becomes much more effective for you. Ask them what improvements would be most important to them. In other words, how can you help them be happier dealing business with you? What special services could you offer that might help their particular situation? And what are the three most important things they do in servicing their customers? How would they rate the following on a 1 to 10 scale? Your sales force professionalism, how your staff answers the phone, handling of complaints, difficulty of doing business with you. I mean, these are interesting questions. The quality of your products or services, the level of response time to questions or requests, the level of attention received. You know, you need to ask questions that you should be, you know, they should be asking their customers, you should be asking them and haven't thought of. You know, many people don't understand the financial numbers related to this. Excuse me. Oh, for example, do you know the cost difference between keeping the customer you have versus pursuing new ones? It costs 5 times as much to gain a new customer as it does to keep the one you have, and 50 times as much to get back a customer you have lost. So you don't want to lose them. They're a valuable asset. They're not easily replaceable. You know, in most businesses, 80% of sales come from 20% of their customers. So are you making the 80-20 rule work in your business? Is it, you know, it's extremely important to show that the 20% delivering 80% of your revenue are happy and satisfied. Then how much does it cost you to gain a customer? Sales calls are expensive, many running in excess of $300, and it usually takes more than 7 sales calls to close a sale. So it makes good business practice to work at keeping those hard fought for clients loyal. You know, a customer is not an interruption of our work. He or she is the purpose of it. We're not doing them a favor by serving them. They're doing us a favor by giving us the opportunity to service them. These are key points. Now, have you maximized developing new business referrals from your existing customers? I mean, that's another key point to think about. A happy customer is happy to give you referrals. A satisfied customer will not only help grow your business by their purchases, but they'll also be happy to make positive recommendations if asked and motivated to do so. A customer referral is an endorsement. It carries with it a substantial weight towards influencing a buying decision. Have your salespeople, and even if you're just by yourself, give the customer a referral list card every time they are called on and thank them with a small promotional product, something with your imprint on it, perhaps it could be as little as a pen or a mug or something, for filling it out right then and there. You know, a customer is a person who brings us his wants. It's our job to handle them profitably to him and ourselves. All right, another question. Do you have an inexpensive plan for keeping your name constantly in front of customers, which will build better relationships? The out of sight, out of mind may sound like a cliche, but remember, a cliche is a proven wisdom. And that's why they're around and in use for so long. Ask yourself, how much is a customer worth to you? And then take a small percentage of that amount and develop a plan that'll keep your company name in front of them. And a hint on that is calling your local promotional products vendor. Look for ideas from them. They are experienced, and that's a multi-billion-dollar industry that has proven itself to be very successful. Because if your customer service is excellent, what are you doing to keep customers and prospects aware of it? Now, testimonials are very effective. You know, if a prospect's perception is that product, price, and performance are on a parity level, let them know you make a difference and tout that service difference to customers and prospects throughout the year. It's not something to be modest about. Come up with a statement about your customer service, your corporate mission, whatever, and use it in the communication materials that a customer or prospect might receive or be exposed to. Now, Thomas Peters, the famous management consultant, said the magic formula that successful businesses have discovered is to treat customers like guests and employees like people. So these are things that you need to be thinking about. And on this last thing, we were talking about, you know, the power of words. You know, very effective. Excuse me. How you use words can make a world of difference in your business. And it is something that I write and I talk about, and we help clients do things that make words more powerful. Words, for example, let me give you my task. You know I love quotes. My task, which I am trying to achieve, is by the power of the written word to make you hear, to make you feel. It is, before of all, to make you see. You know, the power of the right words crafted to enhance the understanding and acceptance of what you have to offer makes a big difference. You know, you have to look at, as I said earlier, answering the question, what's in it for me? That is key to these people. But what is overlooked quite often is look in your business card file. How many clearly explain what business they're in? You know, what's in a name? You know, many business cards, you can't even understand what business they're in. But one of the things you should be looking at is, do they have a tagline that defines their business? Because their name may not do that. So you look at, you know, taglines that can be very effective. You know, and there are so many ways that you use words, and we're not going to have time to cover a lot of these tonight, but your advertising headline creates immediate awareness. If you use billboards, succinct, short to the point, and focused. As I said, your business name has to relate to the service, product, or field you serve. Business tagline has to clarify benefits delivered and or positions you positively. Excuse me. Domain names, they need to be easy to remember, memorable. Email titles require stimulating curiosity or the need to know more. Event names must grab attention. Product names reflect the benefits that be received. We can go on and on and on, but we don't have the time. I suggest that you visit our LinkedIn groups. I suggest that you visit our blog, smartmarketingmoves.com, our website, smartmarketinggroup.com, and let us hear from you if you have questions, you have stories to share, have experience and expertise you would like to present perhaps on the show one day. And that is getting to us through marketingsmartly@aol.com. Again, that's marketingsmartly, S-M-A-R-T-L-Y, at AOL.com. You know, I'm going to borrow another phrase from Mark Twain. He said, a powerful agent is the right word. Whenever we come upon one of those intensely right words in a book or a newspaper, the resulting effect is physical as well as spiritual and electrically prompt. Power of words. My words are thank you for listening. Thank you for coming. Tell more people about our show every Wednesday at 11 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Take care.